Oh, 1 second, I actually need a crunch. 1 second. Okay, so we have three more shiurim this term. This today, next week, and the week after. Next week I'm not going to be here, but this will be a shiur about Levi. We'll give the shiur. We'll be on different topics. And then the week after I want to do something on Pesach. So I don't want to start a whole new thing. Last two chapters of this mini Tanya series. So we'll do it after Pesach. So today we'll just do a one-off. And because the parasha talks about Shabbos, I'm going to share with you a bunch of things on Chassidus. On Shabbos, on the concept of Shabbos. Thought that's,
Nice.
Shabbos comes every week, it's nice to, okay. All right, so let's have a look at just the beginning of the parasha, actually. And then we'll go into different concepts. So, this parasha is a very interesting parasha because it's like almost a repeat of Truma and Tetzaveh and the first part of Kisi, so it's about the Mishkan. But Truma Tetzaveh in the first part of Kisi says Hashem telling Moshe what has to happen with the Mishkan, whereas Vayakal Pekuda is Moshe when gathering the people and then telling them what to do and then they do it and so on. So it starts like this. Vayakil Moshe Eskla Daspene Yisrael Vayomer Aleim. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all the Jewish people and he said to them, Rashi says this was the day after Yom Kippur, Eile Hadavarim, these are the things, he said, Asher Tziva Hashem Lasses Oysa. These are the things that Hashem commanded you should do, and really the main part is going to be the Mishkan, but he starts off with Shabbos. He says, Sheishas Yomim Te'ase Melocha. 6 days you should, Melocha shall be done. Vayom HaShvi, in the 7th day, Yi Lechem Kodesh, should be holy. Shabbos Shabbosin LaHashem. The Shabbos to Hashem, Kol HaOisa Bo Melocha Yumos. Anyone who does Melocha intentionally with a warning, there'll be capital punishment. And then the third pasuk says, Lo Yisavaru Eish. You shouldn't burn any fire in all the places that you live on Shabbos, which is interesting because the Torah singles out lighting a fire is only one of the 39 melachos. One of the ways we actually know that there are 39 melachos on Shabbos is from the first pasuk, just as a side, not the topic really, but just a side thing. It says Eile Hadavarim. Eile Hadavarim. Eile is the gematria 36. Devarim is 2. Because Dovar is one thing, Dvarim is two, and Hadvarim is a third one. That's the Chazal, like interpret Torah Shabbat Peh, 39 Melachos. Okay, but nevertheless, there's a few that are singled out in the Torah. One of them is not to make a fire. Okay. Now, just a very short thing first. Famous Sikha of the Rebbe, where the Rebbe asked the question, why does it say, Sheishas Yomim, 6 days? Te'ose Melacha, Melacha shall be done. Why does it say, 6 days? You should do work, right? We know that working is just like Shabbos, a mitzvah to rest. That's a mitzvah to function in the world and to do work on the 6 days. So the Rebbe says that ta'asim alacha means more passive. Ta'asim means you should engage, you should do, you should get really involved. Ta'asim means more passively. In other words, he blesses on a pasuk. The pasuk in Tilim, it says, Yigia kapecho kisoichel. Ashrecha v'toivlech. If you eat the toil of your hands, the results of your hands, then it'll be good for you, you'll be happy. So the Rebbe says, what does it mean, Yigia Kapecha? It says Yigia Kapecha, the work of your hands, but it doesn't say Yigia Roshecha, the work of your head. You know, a person's head has to be more in Ruchnis. You have to work, but it has to be more what you do with your hands, not to use the head so much. Obviously, some work involves the head, but I mean, it means your focus is not there, you're not there. In other words, Te'asim Alacha. Not that you becomes, that becomes your definition, that becomes who you are. I heard a very good maaser recently about Reb Mendel Futterfass. I love Reb Mendel Futterfass story. So it's a new one. I didn't know Reb Mendel Futterfass was in prison, as we know, for 10 years. More than 10 years, whatever it was, a long time, Siberia. And he was there with a bunch of non-Jews, Cossacks, or whatever they were over there. And they were talking amongst themselves one day. They can't understand why Reb Mendel's always happy. Everyone in prison was down and depressed and sad and gloomy. And he was always happy. He was always happy his whole life, actually, but in prison he was always happy. So they discussed it among themselves and they came to the conclusion there must be that Reb Mendel was homeless before he came into jail. So now he's happy because at least he has a roof over his head. Okay. So they went to ask him if that's true. He said, no, he actually had a family, he had a house, he was, he had a roof over his head. His family is actually now in London. Because, you know, Remendel, the reason why I got arrested, actually, at the end, was there was this period in Russia, it's some side thing, it's interesting to know, just the mysterious nefesh for Avos Yisrael. There was a period in Russia after the war where they would let Polish people out. Right? And staying under the regime of communism was terrible. So they had a whole underground thing, him and a few other chassidim, to produce false Polish passports and to get everyone out of there, including his family, he sent out as well, plus everyone else. And he had every opportunity to do it himself, and he said he's not making one for himself until every person has left, every person in that community has left. And then he got caught. So everyone went out except for him, and he got caught. I mean, everyone in that group, in other words, was still chassidim left in Russia, but... And he got caught, and he was in prison. So anyway, okay, so that theory didn't work. So they were discussing it themselves. So what could it be? How come he's always happy? So I think they decided or something. It must be that he was in business and he got into big debt and people were after his life. So he's happy because at least in prison he's protected. So they went back to him and asked him, what's the story? He said, no, I never owed anyone money. I never had a business. I had parnasa, whatever it was, but you work maybe, I don't know, but I didn't owe anyone money. I wasn't in debt, nothing. So they said to him, come on, so then why are you so happy? Right? So he says, I'll tell you. So he turned to one guy and he said, tell me, what were you doing before you got into prison? Right? You worked in a bank, yeah? And you had hopes that one day they promote you to be the bank manager. Then you got into trouble, you got thrown into prison. So you're upset because you're not working in the bank. You're not, even if you get out, you're never going to get the promotion now that you've been a convicted criminal. So that's it. So you're upset. And he tells the other guy, what are you doing? He says, he was doing something else. Also, he was also going to have a whole career path. Now your career got destroyed. He said, what was I doing before I came to jail? I was Oved Hashem, I was serving Hashem. What am I doing now? I'm still serving Hashem. So, I'm fine. That's what he said. That's a pshat. Pshat is, how do you define yourself? Who are you? So, of course, you have to work. But that's pshat. The pasuk says, Sheishes yomim te'oseh melocha. Melocha shall be done. There is not, you shouldn't put your whole head into it. Your head has to be in the Eibishter's work. Of course, you've got to do it.
I think it's
more, yeah, that also, but I think it's more than that.
It's letting go of.
Yeah, I think it's more than that. In other words, you do it because you have to do it. You do as much as you need to.
Right.
And that's not where your head is, you know what I'm saying? I told him, I said, there was a chassid. His name was Rabbi Yomin Kletzker. Why was he called Rabbi Yomin Kletzker? He was a very, very big chassid of the Alter Rebbe, I think. A bit Rebbe also, maybe. He was called Yomin Kletzker. Kletzker means wood because he was a lumber merchant. You know, in those days, he used to have. You'd go to forests, you cut down trees, and then you'd send them down a river or something and export them to different cities or whatever. And he had a big business. So first of all, the Maaseh by him goes that he was a big, big chassid, his whole head was chassidus. And one time he did the books and he made a cheshbon of his profits and everything. So he wrote down a bunch of numbers, and then at the end he put samachay, which means sachak or total. Total einod milvada, that's what he said. That's what he was thinking about. What's a total? Total is nothing else besides Hashem, that's the total. To tell him, I saw once he was in the forest and he had a bunch of workers. They were working for him. And they were cutting down trees and they were bundling them up. I don't know, whatever it takes to be a lumber merchant. And they needed instructions of me. They needed like to ask him a question, what should they do? In the middle, he got distracted and he was thinking chassidus. And he got completely lost in his thoughts they couldn't get his attention. It took him a while, it's an hour or two, whatever. And then he came to and he said, yeah, what do you want? So they asked him what they want anyway. Then they came and had a meeting with him and I said, listen, we can't work like this. I mean, like this is not a way to do business, right? If you employ us, don't worry, you gotta be focused. So he says, I can't understand. When people say Shema Yisrael and they think about their business, no one has any complaints. And if someone does business in the middle of the business and think about Shema Yisrael, then obviously everyone's complaining. In other words, who are you? Who's the real you? What's your focus? Like, So there's a lot of talk about this Indian, but Friedrich Rebbe writes, of course, like that's why, you know, you don't do more than you can. Like if your business starts take away from your time to do shiurim and to Hashem, that means that's where you're immersed in, that's where you're living, in other words, and that's not good, because you have to believe everything comes from Hashem. And of course you have to make a keli, but the keli is not the ikr. The main thing is the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, okay. All right, good. Now, we know the Shabbos There's a medrash. I tried to find the text actually. I can't find what the medrash, what the Gemara is or the medrash is. I couldn't find this morning. That's why I didn't copy it. But there's a famous medrash or Gemara maybe. Just understand what Shabbos is. What's a pshat on Shabbos? What is my Shabbos, right? So there's a Gemara that says that a certain heretic, a min, a Epicurus, asked one of the Amoraim, Tanaim. He said, you say that, because the Gemara says that Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs, right? We know that. That's a famous thing, that Hashem was saying davening, was saying tilim, magid dvorav le'yakov chukov mishpatov le'Israel. That Hashem gives his mitzvahs, chukov, his mitzvahs to the Yid, which means, Medrash says, it's in my mitzvah, but also that there are some kings that they tell other people what to do, but they don't do it themselves. But by Hashem, whatever he tells us to do, he does himself. So he does the mitzvahs as well. And this is evident from a lot of things in the Gemara. For example, there was another question once, sometimes one asked one of the Amoraim, that he said, Olekeichem Koyenu, your God is a Koyen, right? Because there's a description somewhere in Tanakh about Hashem being a Koyen. So then how come it says that he buried Moshe Rabbeinu? If he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, then right, should, you know, all that kind of thing, right? Okay. Or the Gemara Brocha says, what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Obviously it doesn't mean physically, but it means like, you know, say whatever. Hashem does the mitzvahs, obviously Beruchnis. Okay. So he asked him, if Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs, so how can he make it rain on Shabbos? Right? Simple question is, that if it rains on Shabbos, then you're watering the grass, you're watering the plants. It's one of the 39 melachos, right? So how can Hashem make it rain on Shabbos? Rain comes from Hashem. So how can Hashem make it rain on Shabbos if he keeps all the mitzvahs, if he keeps Shabbos? Yeah? Good question, no? Be nice if it wouldn't rain on Shabbos, because that's when you get wet, right? Because you can't drive. Anyway, but that's... Although it says in Parshat B'chukaisa, Rashi brings it down, on Mashiach come, it'll rain dafka on Shabbos, it'll rain on Friday night. When people are home, so they're not traveling, so they won't get wet. Okay. So he answered him a very strange answer. He said, because since Hashem is called Yechidoi Shel Olam, and since Hashem owns the world, so for Hashem, the world is not a Roshus HaRabim, it's not a public domain. The world is like a Roshus HaYochid, it's a private domain. In other words, like saying like Hashem is one big Eruv. The world is a big Eruv for Hashem, right? It's all belongs to him, so it's like one Roshus HaYochid, yeah? Which of course is a bizarre answer. Why is a bizarre answer? Because what do you mean? If you build an Eruv, it doesn't mean you can water the grass, right? As me, you could do fight a lot of fire. We know that Eruv was only because about carrying, right? It says you can't carry in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You can only carry in a place that is called halachically Rosh Hashanah Yochid, a private domain. Yeah? So what kind of answer is that? What do you mean Hashem can make it rain because the whole world is like a Rosh Hashanah, a private domain is Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Right? And then, Bechal, once we're talking about that, it's interesting, you know, one of the 39 malachas is carrying, right? In fact, it's the one that the Gemara starts off with. The Gemara Shabbos doesn't go in order. It starts off with the malach of carrying. And in fact, there's a big question why, and Tosfos over there brings, and there's a whole bunch of discussion on it. The fact is that carrying is a very strange malach. It actually doesn't fit into all the other 39 malachas. All the malachas of Shabbos are creative work. You do something to something, and it changes the status, right? You cook, so the food becomes raw, becomes cooked. You light a fire, there's a new fire. You know, that's actually the definition of malacha. It's not resting from hard work, it's resting from creation. That's what it is, right? Because you can schlep a table upstairs on Shabbos, and there's no problem with that. You can get very tired doing it, right? If you have to set up for guests or something, it's not a problem. Okay, you're not supposed to overdo it on Shabbos. That's true, it's not Shabbos thing, but... But if you need a chesem, it's a kiddush and shul, we need to reset up the shul, there's no problem, right? Even if you get tired. But it's creation, that's what it is, it's creation, right? And everything's like that. Sewing means you take two things, you put them together through a third thing, and it becomes a one thing. So you've changed the status, right? you build, you destroy, all these things, everything, you change something, except for carrying. What happens if I carry in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, I carry something for Amos, nothing changes. What happens if I carry something from a Rosh Hashanah Yochi to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, to a private domain, to a public domain, nothing happens. It's in my pocket, it's the same thing. Nothing changed. And yet it's one of the 39 Melachos of Shabbos, right? And the answer is actually no, because the reason it is like that is because the whole Shabbos is about, this is why we'll understand what the Gemara means, the whole Shabbos is about Rosh Hashanah Yochi and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the concept of Shabbos. Surrounds the whole, it's not, Taka doesn't fit into the malachas, but it's the basis of all the malachas, because the whole idea of differentiating between a Rosh Hashanah Yochid and a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is actually the essence of Shabbos. So what does that mean? Let's understand. So there's an interesting Yerushalmi, right? Yerushalmi says, you know, on Shabbos you're not supposed to talk about weekday things, right? Okay. You're not supposed to talk about work, you're not supposed to talk about things. That's one of the halachas of Shabbos. Yerushalmi says, actually, that Bekushi hitiru ledaber divrei Torah v'Shabbos. It was the great difficulty that the Chachamim actually permitted a person to speak even Torah on Shabbos. In other words, in theory, Shabbos shouldn't speak altogether. That's what seems from the Yerushalmi. Why not? Imagine that, to be like a silent retreat, you know. Like, yeah. I mean, that's give us a bit of a, I mean, just on a simple pshat, it gives us a bit of a reminder about, you know, the sanctity of speech on Shabbos and how the shmoozing on Shabbos should be a bit more different than the week. Okay. Al Kopanim, what's a pshat? Pshat's like this. It says in Chassidus, we know that Hashem created the world with speech, right? Dibur. Shabbos, however, the world is elevated from the level of Dibur to the level of Machshava.
So oh.
Yeah, but it goes on a higher level. It goes in the level of thought. No, it continues to create the world. Because the world is different on Shabbos. What's up, Shabbos? So let's understand. The world changes on Shabbos. Maybe we on a low madrig, we don't see it, but the Yidden, that saw it. I mean, you know, famous story of the Ruzhin Rebbe. One of the Ruzhin Rebbe's, his child was in Cheder, and learning a Gemara. There's a Gemara that says if someone is traveling in a desert, and loses track of time and he can't figure out when Shabbos is, big problem. He's going to be in the desert for a few weeks, right? So what do you do? It's like a big problem, right? So first of all, there's a halachic issue. Every day could be Shabbos. What do you do? Like, okay. On the other hand, you can't keep Shabbos all week. You'll never get out of the desert, right? So the halachic is every day he has to keep like a suffix Shabbos. He has to do whatever he needs to do to survive, to keep traveling. It's like a koach nefesh. But otherwise, he has to be careful. Okay. Then the Gemara says, but he has to designate one day as Shabbos to remember the Shabbos. They made like a Shabbos one day. And there's two ways to do it. There's a machloikas in the Gemara. Either as soon as he loses track of time, the next day he keeps Shabbos, and then he counts 6 days, he keeps Shabbos again. Proper Shabbos with the Kiddush and everything. Or, the other way around. When you remember, when you lose track of time, you count 6 days, then you keep Shabbos. Okay. Anyway, they're learning this Gemara. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. And the little Ruzhin, the kid, he asks a question to his Rebbe. He says, I don't understand the Gemara. How can someone forget when Shabbos is? So he says, no, he's going. He's traveling. He has nothing with him. You know, you can lose. And he's insistent, the child's insistent. I don't understand, it's impossible. Until he says to his Rebbe, it's impossible such a thing could happen, because you can look at the clouds and you can see if it's Shabbos or not. So his teacher thought he was being a little silly, so he gave him a little patch, as was the minig in those days, right? Next day, his father, who's also the original Rebbe, Big Sadi, came to Cheder with his son. I guess he didn't want to disrespect the teacher, but he wanted his teachers to know that what the child said, he wasn't playing around. It's true, he could see Taka. He was very spiritually sensitive when he was a child already. And he could see the clouds are different on Shabbos. The world is different. Okay. Why is the world different? Because the world is elevated from level of Dibur to level of Machshava. What does that mean? It means like this. What is Dibur? What does it mean that Hashem created the world with speech? What does that mean? So we know that Dibur, we've learned it before, Dibur is actually a process of Tzimtzum, right? You know, there's many things, right? Sometimes you can have a very intense thought that takes you a split second. But if you want to explain it to someone else, the intensity of it is, it's impossible to share that intensity with someone else. It only exists within you, right? Then, if you explain it to someone else, it's going to take you, you have to break it down into sentences, into words, into paragraphs. It could take you 10 minutes, take you half an hour maybe, to explain one thought that you had, right? Now, those words, let's say you present it to someone else and you explain it and the person gets it, but doesn't get it the same level of intensity that you understood it, right? Okay, so that's the process of Simson. That's what Hashem did. He wanted a finite world. But what also happens is as follows. When you want a finite world where the governing thought is sort of broken down, so what happens is like this. You have an essay now. Let's say you got 1,000 words. If you would look at each word, right, if you look at each word separately, you won't see the kesher between one word and another. Only hopefully if you read the whole thing or you listen to the whole thing and you really understand and you work out to understand it, eventually you'll have some connection to the governing thought that was the basis of all the separate words together. But really, if you take a sentence in the last paragraph, then the first paragraph, they're not kesher with each other. Just, you need to get a full picture. You need to be able then to appreciate that there's one idea that is the governing thought of this entire essay, right? Yeah? That's it. Same thing with Hashem. What did Hashem do? Hashem wanted a world. The world, obviously, is to make a derbet. The point of the world is a lakus. It's godliness. However, he went through the big process of Tzimtzum and he created a world of multiplicity, a fragmented world. The world is called Alma de Pruda Nazoya. A world of division, a world of fragmentation, right? Which is, or sometimes it's called Ture de Pruda, like separate mountains, right? Everything is a separate mountain in this world, which is another phrase that the Kabbalah uses for Klipa. Klipa means you don't see Hashem. What do you see? You see a lawyer, you see a plumber, you see somewhere, a tree, you see an animal, you see everything's different. You don't see the Eibishter, you just see separate things, right? In other words, Hashem created a world where you can do, basically it's a world of 39 melachos, that's what it's a world of, and all the extensions. And that's how the world functions, that's the world existing, but each melacha is completely separate. The tailor who's sewing is a different trade than the person who's cooking. It's a different world, it's a different thing, right? Everything's separate. Come Shabbos, right? Shabbos, the whole idea is to be elevated to the world of Machshava. Now, we're not like the Rishonim, so we don't see the world being different, but Shabbos, the Eibishter gives the opportunity for the governing thought of everything together to be revealed. But how do we do that? Because we're in the world of Klipa, we're in the world of Gashmius, we're not such a world. So the way we can tap into Shabbos is we have to stop. That's what Shabbos means. Shabbos means to stop. Shabbos, we have to completely stop. We have to stop doing what we're doing. Meaning the cook stops cooking, the tailor stops sewing, right? Even the animals have to keep Shabbos, right? You have to stop doing. So then what do we do on Shabbos? Because we stop doing anything to do with the world of Dibur, we can now tap into the world of Machshava. We can go higher. We can all focus on the same thing. And we can discover the Machshava that's behind the Dibur. Understand that one governing thought that is the basis of the entire conversation. The goal, obviously, is that we take it back into the week with us, so that we remember the first word, Te'ose. Remember that it's not about the cooking and the plowing and the business that we have. It's about Hashem Echad. It's all about Achdus Hashem. It's just each one is bringing it out differently. Each one is playing a different instrument in the same orchestra, with the same conductor. Okay, but in order to do that, we need once a week to completely stop. Otherwise, we just get lost in the fragmentation of the world rather than understanding the oneness of the world, which is the Eibishter, right? Yeah, that's the pshat that the world is elevated from the world of Dibur to the world of Machshava, which is why the Yerushalmi says that it was a great difficulty that they were matir, that they permitted to speak b'chal on Shabbos, because really Shabbos is a world of thought. Okay, this also explains a very interesting phenomenon, right? We have a lot of things in the Torah that are klipa, that are bad, right? But we often find that some things that are bad, it also depends on the context, which is hard to understand. If they're bad, why aren't they always bad? If they're not bad, right? So one of those examples is Shabbos, right? The Torah, we just learned, the Torah says, Lo yisavaru eish b'chol moish v'seichem b'yoyim ha-Shabbos. You shouldn't light a fire anywhere you live on Shabbos, right? And yet, in the Beis HaMikdash, they lit fire every single Shabbos. Whatever they did during the week, they did on Shabbos also, except for individual karbanis, but communal karbanis, they brought a karban, they shechted an animal, they did lots of halachas every single week in the Beis HaMikdash. So you ask the question, if it's bad to make a fire on Shabbos, then why isn't it bad to make a fire in the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is the following. The Beis HaMikdash was a place that you didn't, it wasn't the problem. The Beis HaMikdash, when you went to the Beis HaMikdash, when you light a fire in this world, then the fire has its own independence importance. Shabbos, you have to stop lighting a fire so you can appreciate the Hashem Echad behind the fire. The Beis HaMikdash was a place where divine consciousness was revealed. So, in other words, nothing actually intrinsically wrong in lighting a fire. In fact, the Rebbe points out in the Sikh I just learned yesterday, maybe if we have time, I'll get to that Sikh also, but the Rebbe points out that the 39 malachas are not bad things. Because, in fact, how do we learn you're not supposed to do the 39 malachas on Shabbos? Those are the 39 malachas that we used to build the Mishkan, right? They're not bad things, they used to build the Mishkan. They're not really clip, in other words, they're things that are treif, but this is not treif. Sowing, plowing, all good things. As long as you're building a Mishkan with it, right? As long as that's the word, right? You make a 39 malachas. But in order to do that, in our world, we have to once a week completely disengage from all those malachas so we can go back into the week and understand those malachas are words which are all part of one essay. Instruments, all part of one orchestra, right? But when you went into the Beis HaMikdash, it was l'chatchila like that. The building of the Beis HaMikdash, you needed that. But the Beis HaMikdash, once it was there and there was a gilui elokus, when you walked into the Beis HaMikdash and you shechted a carbon, it didn't detract from your feeling and understanding of the Achdus Hashem. Because that's the Beis HaMikdash, right? Okay.
Wouldn't that be so confusing for
the
time?
I guess not. I guess because they went into the Beis HaMikdash, they felt different. They knew this is a different place. That's the word. You walked in the Beis HaMikdash, you understood that lighting a fire is part of Kedusha. It's Kedusha. It's a Kedusha fire. It's part of the Achdus Hashem. A small example of that nowadays when you go to Bris on Shabbos, right? You see the world doing all the things you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. I guess that's, but you know it's a Bris. Yeah. Maybe that's a similar idea, I'm not sure. Yeah. So therefore, now we can understand the whole discussion in the Gemara. Yeah. He says, if Hashem keeps the Torah, so why does he make it rain? So he said, because for Hashem, the whole world is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. What does that mean? As it goes back to, I said, why we have the malach of carrying all together. Why are we so reminded on Shabbos about Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? What's the idea? The idea is because, although the malach of carrying doesn't fit into other malachas, but actually it's a reminder of what all our malachas are about. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yochid represent these two ideas. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is the fragmentation of the world. It's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's a place of individuals, independent people, different people, different from each other. They're not united by the oneness of Hashem. You create a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you're reminding, no, we're all part of the one same Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Yachid means it's a Rosh Hashanah, it's a domain where the Yachid, where the Echad, where the Hashem Echad, the oneness of Hashem prevails and can be felt. Is that? In other words, it's like, it becomes like, yeah. So therefore, for Hashem, the whole world is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If the whole world is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it means like for Hashem, the whole world is like a Beis HaMikdash. So for Hashem to make it rain is not a problem. From Hashem's perspective, it's not a malacha. Like it wasn't a malacha to shecht in the Beis HaMikdash, because it wasn't a contradiction to the oneness of Hashem. That's what the Gemara, that's the depth of the Gemara. For us, it's different. For us, it means we have to work on it still, so therefore we remind ourselves of this concept by the malach of carrying, which is a yachid, which is a rabbim, but we still live in a fragmented world, so therefore Shabbos we have an ability, an opportunity to understand it better, but we have to understand it by not doing the work. Right? Okay. So that's one idea. This leads into another thing. How do we tap into it on Shabbos? So what's the idea? How do we tap into this? So the first thing we do is we have to disconnect from the world in order that we can understand what the Shabbos is really, right? What the Shabbos is. Which, by the way, is an interesting thing. It's not a Chassidus about this, but it's just it comes from a Chassidus Sefer, but it's not the It's not the next thing I want to tell you is a deeper thing, but I want to tell you this interesting thing. We know that on Shabbos there's two ideas. There's mitzvahs loisase, mitzvahs sase, right? There's what we call shomer and the zocher. Shomer is all the things you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. And then zocher is then how we connect with Shabbos, right? We kiddush and divrei Torah. All the things that are mitzvahs sase of Shabbos are under the zocher, right? Now we know that in the Seres HaDibros in Parashas Yisro it says zocher is yom haShabbos lekach, right? In Parshas Vayischanan it says Shomer Yom HaShabbos Lekadosh, right? And the Gemara says, how could that be? Says the Gemara, Zochor v'Shomer b'Dibur Echad. When Hashem said the Aseres Dibros, He said the words Zochor and Shomer together. A person can't do it, you can't say two words at the same time. But Hashem could say, He said Zochor and He said Shomer. Right? Simultaneously. Because Shabbos has both things, Zochor and Shomer. Which, by the way, halachically is the reason that women are obligated in Kiddush, because even though it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grame, it's a time-bound mitzvah, but because the Torah puts Zohar and Shomer together, whoever's chayv in Shomer is chayv in Zohar, so it's a package, right? So therefore, women are obviously chayv in Shomer, so therefore they're chayv in Zohar as well. So that's, halachically, that's how it works, yeah? Okay. So we have in Lechodoidi, we sing every Friday night, right? We have also this idea, and it says there, Shomer v'zocher b'dibur echad. Right? The first paragraph of Lechadoini. So once on a sefer, I think it was the Morev v'shomesh, one of the Chassidish Rebbes, he asks a question, he says, how come in Lechadoini we reverse the order? The Gemara, in the Torah it says zocher first, and then Shomer, and the Lashon of the Gemara is, zocher v'shomer b'dibur echad. And you know, Friday night, but Lechadoini, we say Shomer v'zocher b'dibur echad. We switch the order, right? Now, obviously, it's not a very big kasha because it's poetic license. The Lechadoidi was composed by Rav Shlomo Alkavetz, Halevi. And if you look in the paragraphs, all from Shomer V'Zocher till the one just before Bo'i B'Sholem, which isn't really part of the whole thing, where B'Sholem is a separate stanza, and you look at the first letters of the Lechadoidi, you'll see Shlomo Halevi. Okay, so when it came to the first paragraph, obviously, you had to put Shomer first because to get the shin there, right? It's poetic license. I mean, it's a derech of tzaddikim. And when they made zmiras and things, they encrypted their name in the result of this. Other people did this, okay. Okay, it's not a big kash. But he says in the sefer, good, that's true, poetic license. But you must say, there's something deeper here, because you must say, since Kabbalah Shabbos is something that everyone does, and everyone says, by the way, quite amazingly so, Kabbalah Shabbos is only a few hundred years old, you know that. Was made in Sfas by the Mekubalim, and yet every shul in the world does it, right? Which is an amazing thing in its own right. So therefore, you must say that because we say Shomer first and then Zocher, even though the Torah says the other way around, there must be a reason. And he says like this. He says the reason is because like this. What is the goal of Shabbos, the Shomer or the Zocher? He says the goal is the Zocher. The goal is not. The goal is what you do on Shabbos, not what you don't do, right? The goal is the Kiddush, the Divrei Torah, the recognition, the Ruchnius connection, the understanding of the Hashem Echad, whatever, the whole thing. That's the goal of Shabbos, which we do through immersing ourselves in the Kedusha of Shabbos, with the mitzvahs of Shabbos, and so on. However, so that's why in the Torah, the Zohar comes before the Shomer. However, we know that you cannot reach the Zohar without the Shomer, really, in truth, right? In order to really, it's the same word you were just saying, in order to really appreciate, right, in order to really appreciate to get out of Shabbos, the recognition of the Achdus Hashem, the Machshava, the whole thing, you really have to first do Shabbos, you have to disconnect from the world. Right, because we're not in the Beis HaMikdash, we have to be able to stop doing the fragmented stuff so that we can understand what is really driving the fragmented stuff in the beginning. So therefore, when it comes Shabbos, what are you going to do first? The first thing you have to do is Shomer. You're going to have to makabel Shabbos, and it's awesome and melacha. That's it. You can't do it. You have to stop working. Disconnect. Stop. That's really Friday night, mainly, right? Then you can achieve Zohar. That's why we say Lechadoidi on Friday night, which is really being makabel the Shabbos and saying goodbye to the week. The first thing we have to say is Shomer, even though the goal is Zohar. So the Torah says Zohar first, because that's the goal, but we say Shomer first, because practically we have to engage in the Shomer before the Zohar. Okay. Which leads into a whole other verse. You have a look at number two. So sometimes we find the Shabbos, right? Sometimes we find the Shabbos using the word Zohar. Sometimes we find in the Torah about keeping Shabbos the word Shomer. Now, a funny thing we find is like this. It says, Eshapsoisai tishmoyu. See the pasuk in Vayikra? You should keep, you should guard my Shabbos, umigdoshi tiro, and fear my Samigdosh and Yashem. So here it uses the Lashon tishmoyu, which is the shomer part, right? The loisase. So what's interesting is like this. Shapsoisai is in the plural, correct? I mean, when it says the first time, Shomer Hashem HaShabbos, that's in the singular, but here it's saying, Shapsoisai, my Shabboses, right? You never find the plural with Zohar. Yeah? So the question is why? Why was Shomer, there seems to be two levels of Shomer. Yeah? So I once learned a maimer of the Rebbe, it was printed in one of the Devarim Malchus. A number of years ago, and I don't know where to find it, so that's why I'm doing it from memory. And explains a beautiful idea. It goes to the idea b'chlal about understanding mitzvahs aseh and mitzvahs lois aseh. Right? So, you know, when Hashem gave us the Torah, we have mitzvahs aseh, things we have to do. Daraisa, Darabonim, Minhogim, whatever the case is. We have to put on mezuzah, we have to light Shabbos candles, we have to put on tefillin, we have to whatever, tzitzis, whatever, all these things, right? All mitzvahs aseh, take challah. And then we have lots of mitzvahs lois aseh, all the things you're not allowed to do. So the question is, which one is higher? Aseh or lois aseh? What do you think? Aseh, right? Why? I mean, that's true on one level, but why? What? Positive, right? Always going to be positive. So what's the function of a lois aseh? What? So on one hand, that is true. On one hand, the ikir is the mitzvah aseh. That is true. Chassidus explained that's true. Yeah, definitely true. Why? Because mitzvah aseh is when you connect to Hashem, you're doing something, right? In fact, the Alter Rebbe at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva brings the Gemara that seems to suggest that it's easier to do tshuva for a mitzvah saseh than for a mitzvah lois saseh. And he says, don't make a mistake to think to belittle mitzvah saseh because of that. It's on the contrary. Every mitzvah saseh connects you with Hashem. Every mitzvah saseh is an active pu'ula of connecting to Hashem. And every mitzvah saseh draws down a specific oir, a specific light into the world. On the contrary, in fact, we don't do mitzvah saseh, you're missing that light. And it's hard to make it up unless it's a very deep tshuva. The reason why it's harder to do tshuva mitzvah lois aseh is because when you do mitzvah lois aseh, it's an act of rebellion. So you're doing something that Hashem said not to do. So in a way that, in the tshuva aspect, it's a bit difficult. Okay, we'll leave that now, but I'm saying that's the right? So what's the function of mitzvah lois aseh? So one very simple understanding of mitzvah lois aseh is, you know, if you have a plate of chicken, right? So what's the ikka? The plate or the chicken? Obviously the chicken, you want to eat the chicken. But you have to have someone to put the chicken. And you're not going to put the chicken on a dirty plate. So you've got to put it in a clean plate. Right? So that Mrs. Lysa says to make sure that the plate is clean. So you bring down the Oyer of Hashem into the world. You want to bring it into a clean environment. So therefore you don't want to... Lysa says clipper. Every time you do a Lysa say there's a stain of clipper. You engage with the clipper, whatever. And then it kind of doesn't affect... I mean, every mitzvah is a mitzvah, but... Still, it's like not the right place to put a mitzvah saseh. It's not the right place to bring, not the right space to bring Hashem's oyer into. Yeah. So now, in other words, the mitzvah saseh says just to keep the world clean. The ikr is the mitzvah saseh to bring the oyer into the world. Right. Yeah. That's true on one end. However, not so simple. Why is not so simple? For the following reason. There are places that it says in Chassidus, and it comes from the following pasuk, which I should have copied, but I forgot. It's the story when Hashem went to, when Moshe Rabbeinu was at the burning bush. Here we are. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should go to Mitzrayim, you should say that Hashem sent you. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Shlachani Aleichem. because this is Moshe Rabbeinu asked him what his name is, and he said, "Zeh Shmi Lo'olam." This is my name forever. "Zeh Zichri," and this is my remembrance. I don't know how they translate it here. It's my remembrance to all generations. Okay. So in Kabbalah it says like this: Hashem was hinting at the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah lo saseh. This is what He's going to give us when we come out of Mitzrayim, right? Now, Shmi, my name, is the gematria of 350. Together with Yud, because Hashem said this is my name, right? So you're talking about Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shmi with Yud and Hey is 365. That's a hint to the mitzvahs lo saseh, right? Zichri is 237, right? With Vav Kei is 248, right? So Shmi with Yudke is 365, Zichri with Vovke is 248, and that's a mitzvah say and mitzvah lo saseh, right? Or a mitzvah say and mitzvah say. What does that come out? Comes out the name of Hashem, the mitzvah lo saseh are connected with the higher madriga. Yeah, higher madriga. No, because it's Shmi with Yud Kei. So it's the Yud Kei with Shmi that makes the Lois Asay. And it's the Vav Kei with Zichri that makes the Asay. In other words, if you take the name of Hashem, where's the Lois Asay hinted? Yud Kei. Where's the Mitzvah Asay hinted? Vav Kei. So Lois Asay is higher. Right? So Chassidus explains like this. There's two levels of Lois Asay. This is a way to understand. Lo Yisaseh means just don't do anything wrong because you just need to make space for the Kedusha to come. So therefore, on that level, it's lower than Aseh. However, there is a thing where Lo Yisaseh, but in other words, on that level, where do you connect to Hashem higher? And Aseh, because you do something to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore that's a higher thing, right? However, there's a concept of Lo Yisaseh also being an avoider in itself, not just about cleaning out the world. And it's an avoider which makes you reach higher than an Aseh. Why? Because we learn that there's certain things that are so high, certain levels of elikus that are so high, that you can't reach them. You can't reach them through an action, through a human action. You actually reach them with total bittul. You're not doing anything. You just say, "I'm here. I'm ready. I surrender. Complete surrender. I'm not even doing a mitzvah. Could I do a mitzvah? That's still me." Very holy, but it's still me. Listening to Hashem with a lois haseh is deeper than a mitzvah haseh. That I'm totally negated. I'm not doing anything. I'm just yours. When you get to that level of bittul, it allows you to reach higher than an haseh can reach. Because an haseh at the end of the day is your avodah. The Rebbe has an unbelievable, sicha towards Tovshim Memtes was a later sicha. It's a very deep sicha. He explains a similar idea about when the Yontif comes on Rosh Hashanah, comes on Shabbos. How the not blowing shofar is even higher than the blowing shofar. It's a very deep sicha. But anyway, but it's a similar idea. Understand? Higher than your avodah. Oh. So then, the Rebbe explains like this, that there's three times of Shabbos. That's famous. I mean, Arizal talks about this. There's Friday night, Shabbos day, and what we call Raiva Deraivin, Shabbos afternoon, which is considered a very holy time. It's the Rotzen of the Rotzen of Hashem. It's the greatest time of Shabbos. Right? Say like this. When it comes to Shabbos, there's a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. There's Shomer and there's Zocher. Right? However, in Shomer, there's two madregas. Because the way it works is like this. Friday night comes, Shomer. That's the main thing in Shomer. What's Friday night? Just saying goodbye to the week. Yeah? Because that's like the lois say lower than the aseh. You gotta get out of the rubbish before you can engage in the Kedusha. Right? Boyim b'sholem, you turn around, you say, you welcome the Shabbos, you say goodbye to the weekday. The Kabbalah, Shabbos, by the way, and if you know, this has six kapitlachtilim before we get to Lachadoidi. Those six kapitlachtilim correspond to the 6 days of the week. So each one, we're saying goodbye to another day of the week, right? Go out, yeah.
For
Boy Bisholim used to go there. So after the 6 days, then he was ready to accept the Shabbos, but it was saying, but what was the whole lead up to that? It was saying goodbye to the week. Yeah. That's why there's two shuls of the Rizal and Tzfas, because the second one is built where he was Makabel Shabbos, right? Right? Then comes after Friday night, then you get into more the Zohar of Shabbos. Okay, we make Kiddush on Friday night too, but it's the idea. In other words, Shabbos day, you're much more into the, you're immersed in Shabbos now. You've said goodbye to the week. The week's gone. Now you're more active in Shabbos. You're listening to Kriya Satoira. You're fully engaged. You're eating the Suda Shabbos. You're involved in Shabbos. That's the Zohar. Right? And then you come to a high level of Shomer. And that's Shabbos afternoon. That's why, especially in Chabad, like Shabbos afternoon, Shalosh Shudas is toned down. We don't have such a fancy Shalosh Shudas. A little bit you have, because you don't wash, whatever, all these different things, right? Because what's Shabbos afternoon? You don't engage either. It's actually Shomer. We go back to the Lois Hasei, for a much higher level. It's not that we're not doing work because we're saying goodbye to the week. Not doing work because we're not doing anything. We completely bottle. And that's the Shabbos afternoon. Yeah, okay, listen. We'll do that sometimes, right? But you know that in the real Chabad tradition, sleeping on Shabbos afternoon was treif. The Rebbe Rashab had such sharp things. I'm not saying, we all fall asleep on Shabbos, but...
She's usually learning.
Yeah, probably, yeah. That's why Shabbos afternoon was like a thing. They used to say Kabbalah, Chassidus, whatever, be Maimer. Because you're just not here. Yeah, a little bit. Same thing as like Olam Haba, like total bittle. In other words, it represents the higher level of the Lois Hasei. That's why Shabsoi Sai Tishmeru. When it comes to Zohar, it's one Shabbos. When it comes to Shomer, it's two Shabbos. Two Shabboses. The one is the lower level of Lois Hasei, which is Friday night, and the other one is the high level of Lois Hasei, which is the total surrender, the total bittle. In other words, you're not even doing Zohar, you're not doing anything. It's like not blowing the shofar. You're not... You just totally bottle, therefore you're reaching the highest level. All right, stop there. So there'll be a shiur next week, and then in 2 weeks' time I'll give a shiur on Pesach, and then we'll stop until after Pesach.
Thank you so
good.
Much.